Because now I want to encourage you this morning. I got a message. Smile, you're a child of the King. You know, I only have one message every time I come here. I only have one message, and that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. I just take other verses and sort of wrap them around the gospel all the time. So I'm just a simple preacher who just loves Jesus Christ because I was a sinner saved by birth and God to redeem me. And so that's my message. So today I want to encourage you by letting you know a little bit about your identity. One of the most thrilling things about finding Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord is found here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And let's get my pointer here so we can read the verse. It goes like this. Now I'm going to read from I'll read it from here because my Bible might be a little different than this, okay? Behold, or another version says, see. See what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, John is on he's on an island called Patmos. He was sent there to be in exile. And I'm sure while John was there, he was wondering, God, have you deserted me? And he's also writing to a persecuted church. The first wave of persecution has started here in Christendom in Rome. And I'm sure there was a lot of Christians wondering, God, where are you during this? Are we really your children that you'd send us through this persecution? And John had this message from God and anointed by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God to write this down. All of a sudden he had this thought and from the Holy Spirit and confirmed in his heart, we are now children of God. And behold, he said, right now, not later, not maybe, not somehow, but right now. And John says, now I might not look like it, but I am. I'm not trying to be. I'm not hoping to be. I am right now a child of God. Exiled to this island, persecuted maybe, but you are children of God. Now, I understand when you go when you go to Greece, I don't know if anybody had ever been to Greece. I have not been to Greece. I heard it's a beautiful place, though. And if you go there and tour the palace, they've got a beautiful palace of the king or president there. You'll see highly decorated soldiers, guards in striking uniforms. I think I've got a picture. I don't know if that's Greece, but probably like that. And they guard the palace. And it's a great honor to the family to have a son or a daughter to stand there in rigid attention without blinking an eye as a palace guard. There's a lot of honor attached to it, to the guard and to his family, that their son or daughter would be chosen for the king's guard just because of one little bitty old king of a little bitty old country selected him to be a guard. And yet, friends, my Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, everlasting to everlasting, the eternal, all-powerful Creator of the universe, who made all of heaven and earth and all there is, gave me the opportunity to preach His gospel. I mean, hallelujah, permitted you to sing this morning in His choir. And allowed you to teach, you teachers, to teach profound truths of His Word. Because you're a child of the King. You have a seat in His kingdom. And yet if anybody here this morning received a telegram from the President saying, I request the honor of your presence at the White House, you'd call a press conference. Now, it seems like today there might be some trouble getting people invited to the White House who really want to go, but that's another story. And let's just say it's President Obama or Clinton or Bush. You take your pick, whichever president you want. You get a telegram saying, I would like you to come to the White House. And you would say, when you got that telegram, you'd hold it up and say, here it is, here it is, here's my invitation, I'm going, the President of the United States invited me. And yet, friends, he's only the President of the United States, that's all. Just a little 200-year-old country, not 1/20th of the population of the entire world. And yet, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, President of all Presidents, beckons to every man and woman this morning, every young person, every teenager, sends out a call to you this morning, come, I request your presence at my table. And one day in 1969, in September, I got a special delivery from Jesus Christ. I heard the voice of Him saying, come to me and find rest for your soul. Have a seat in my kingdom. I invite you to be my child. And ever since then, I've been waving that testimony. You see, I've got that testimony, and I hope you do too this morning. That's your invitation. Smile. You're a child of the King. Several years ago, I got a letter from a U.S. congressman inviting me to a prayer breakfast that he was sponsoring. And it was held in a nice fancy hotel dining hall. And there were a lot of VIPs there. Not me. I wasn't special anyway. But when I got there, I said to the doorman, I said, hello, I'm Pastor Bill Case, and I've been invited to the prayer breakfast. And he said, oh, yes, right this way, Reverend Case. And he ushered me into the breakfast room, to this long, elegantly placed table setting that was all set up just for pastors and people invited by this congressman to the prayer breakfast. And he ushered me over and showed me my chair, and he said, right here's your place. And at this place setting, there was a card there, and it had my name on it, Reverend William A. Case. Now, I'm not any more reverend than anybody else. I don't know where they get that title anyway. But there it was. There was my seat. Nobody could touch it. Nobody else could sit there. Nobody else could take it from me. It was mine. I was invited there by the congressman to this fancy place to have a breakfast. And now, I don't know why he invited me. I still don't know why Jesus ever reached out and called me to be his spokesman. But Jesus said this in John 14, verses 2 and 3. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And that word mansions can be translated dwelling places. If I could have the freedom to translate it to place settings. In my Father's house, there's a lot of place settings. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, child of God, Jesus has gone to make arrangements for you and put your name on it because you're His child. And when you're a believer in Jesus, the way may be rough, the way may be tough, and the going might not always be the way you want. And some of God's children get cancer. Some of God's children cry. And some of God's children have to go through divorce. And some of God's children have to have tough times financially. But I want you to know this morning that's okay, because there's better things ahead. And our affections are not to be set on things below, but on things above. Some people might say, there you go. Some pundits and some skeptics would say, there you go, preacher, preaching that pie in the sky again. Friends, I'm glad there's pie in the sky, because for some of God's children, that's the only place they're going to get it. We ought to be thankful for what God has done and prepared for you. You're a child of the King. So God has looked down on you with great grace and great favor upon those who work hard as a child of God, who labor diligently as a child of God. This world may not recognize you, and you may not get any medals, and you might not get any accolades. You might not get a position down here, but you've got a seat in the kingdom. And God has prepared it for you, specifically, with your name on it. And nobody else can take it. It's yours. Nobody's going to get it from you. And man, friends, that is wonderful, isn't it? If you're a child of God this morning. And I may not have much of this world's goods. I might not have much of a bank account or a savings account. But I can raise my head high and sing those words that John Sumner penned in 1838 when he wrote, "I was once an outcast, stranger by on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written above, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus as my Savior, I'm a child of the King." And then John says in 1 John, he goes on a little bit, "Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed." And John says, what we will be has not totally been revealed to us. It hasn't been known yet. You don't know everything that God's planned for you yet. Dr. E.V. Hill was one of my favorite preachers, preached in the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Los Angeles. He's passed away now, but I loved to hear him preach. He was telling about the time he hired a young girl to be his church secretary. And he didn't really know who she was. She was referred to Dr. Hill. He knew her name, and she was pleasant, good Christian gal. She needed a job. So one day, one of his friends came by to ask Dr. Hill, "Do you know who your secretary is?" And Dr. Hill said, "Why, yes, of course. Her name is Natalie Cole." And his friend said, "Do you know who Natalie Cole is?" And Dr. Hill said, "Well, yeah, she's a very young, nice young lady. She's here all the time. She works very well. She's a great secretary. I pay her well, $4 an hour." He said, "That's Nat King Cole's daughter, the famous singer." Dr. Hill gasped. He said, "What?" But after his friend left, so he called her in and he said, "Come in here. Come in here, Natalie. Sit down. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Are you Nat King Cole's daughter?" She said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Why didn't you tell me?" And she said, "Well, I didn't know it was required to have a job. I just needed a place to work, and I like the church here, and I like your preaching, Dr. Hill. I just decided I needed a job here." Dr. Hill said, "Well, Natalie, I want to ask you a question, and I don't want to pry, but I know your daddy was well off as a famous singer, and you've been very faithful, and I don't pay you very well." She said, "Well, yes, my daddy did leave me something. He was well off, but I need to work here because, Dr. Hill, I haven't come into it yet. I'm the daughter of Nat King Cole, but I haven't come into it yet. I have to be 21. Now it's there for me. I have an inheritance and I am his daughter, but I haven't come into it yet. So friends, as we sing, 'I'm a child of the King,' there are some people in this world, there are some believers, there are some faithful followers of Jesus Christ who are sweeping streets and making beds in hotels, or who are struggling and hurting. But the Bible says, John said, "Behold, now we are sons of God." It doesn't look like it. It doesn't always seem like it. But don't worry about it yet. Because, listen, child of God, we haven't come into it yet. We haven't come into all that God has prepared for us. And our Father in heaven recognizes that some of you, His children, and that He's going to take care of you, but that this world would have gone to Hades in a basket long time ago if it weren't for the fact that in this world God has some children. And if it wasn't for the fact that God is holding back His wrath because He's got some children down here, and He's appointed one day, though, when He's going to come back, and when He calls us all home, friends, Hades is going to break out in all of Fort Wayne, in Indianapolis, in all of Indiana. But until then, Jesus says, you be the salt of the earth. You be the light of this world, because I love you, but you haven't come into everything yet. There's a lot more waiting for you. And when you have Christ and you commit your life to Him, when Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're going to struggle. But God wants you to be a victorious, successful Christian. One more illustration. I went to a pastor's conference in the one year. And while I was there, one of the seminars was for struggling pastors, hurting pastors. And I thought, that sounds like a good one to be at. I was hurting and struggling at that particular time. And the speaker was Dr. Tony Evans. Tony Evans is one of my favorite preachers, evangelists. And he started out by telling all those pastors, and he said, I want to tell you about my early childhood hero, my brother and I. My brother and I, when the TV, the black and white TV came on, we would make sure that we'd always watch Superman. Now, this isn't the modern day Superman. This is the old George Reeves, the black and white guy, you know. He wasn't in shape at all, you know, for Superman. But that was the, he said, my brother and I, we'd stretch out on the floor and we'd prop up our elbows on with our chins and we'd watch our favorite hero. Now, as Clark Kent, he was a bumbling idiot. Perry White was always calling him a clumsy wimp, and Lois Lane was always helping him tie his shoes. But don't let Clark Kent find a phone booth. The criminals would be taking over the city, and they'd ask, where's Superman? And Clark Kent would hear those cries for help, and he'd loosen his tie, and he would take off his glasses, and he would run inside a telephone booth or a closet and come out in a few seconds in a red and white jumpsuit. A red and blue jumpsuit. He was no longer Clark Kent. He was now faster than a speeding bullet. He was more powerful than a locomotive. He was able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. People would look up and Tony Evans would say, my brother and I knew I was coming next. Some of those questions they'd ask, people would say on TV, it's a bird. And they'd look at each other and say, uh-uh. It's a plane. They'd look, Tony and his brother would say, nope. It's Superman. And when Superman showed up, the environment changed. He'd bend guns there with bare hands, break knives, and grab those bad guys and throw them into a paddy wagon. And Tony Evans asked us this, now where did Superman get his power? And he'd say, I'll tell you, he wasn't from here. He was from a place called Krypton. But when he was transplanted to Earth, he brought the power from another realm and made it work in this realm. Young people, older adults, men and women, this morning who are genuine believers in Jesus Christ, let me tell you what Tony Evans taught a whole bunch of us discouraged pastors. You're not from here. You're from a whole nother realm. A whole nother realm. And what God wants from you and you and you and all of us this morning is to take a trip into His telephone booth and take off those old, dirty, carnal clothes and that old way of thinking, that old way of acting. And He wants you to throw them down and throw them away. And as a Christian, put on your new red and blue jumpsuit. Now, when you come out as a believer in Jesus Christ, you'll have a big red S on your chest. And that doesn't mean Superman, though. But it does mean saved. It doesn't mean that you're Superman, but it does mean you're sanctified. It doesn't mean you're Superman, but it does mean you're a saint. So you can go out of here this morning, friends, as a child of God, more powerful than speeding sin, more powerful than public sin, able to leap over temptations with a single bound, so that when people at school see you, or people at work see you, and they know you're different, they know you're from some other realm, they're going to say, it's a bird. No. It's a plane. Huh? It's God's super saints who are going out into this world to win testimonies for Jesus Christ and waving them in the air because they say, I've got a seat in the kingdom. God's called me to be a sojourner. This isn't my home. So fight on, children of God. Fight on, soldiers of the King, because just a little while longer and soon our earthly work will be all done. You'll have that seat at the table. Not in the White House, not in the governor's house, but in the kingdom of God, where you shall reign forever and ever with Jesus Christ, who has saved you and taken you out of the pit and set you on high and given you place of the kingdom. Smile, child of God. You've got a place in the kingdom. Let's pray. God, we're not worthy. I don't understand why you would choose any of us. I don't understand, God, why you choose me. I'm still amazed by you. As the song was sung this morning, God, I'm amazed by you. Amazing Grace is still a new song to me because your grace is so amazing. I don't understand why you extended your grace to a sinner such as us. But you did. And you saved us. And now we're from another realm. It's a supernatural power you put in us, God. No matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter the color of our skin or how much money we have or what nationality we have or where we're from, Jesus, you've called us to be one. And Jesus, thank you. As your children, we love each other. Thank you, God, for the children you have in this congregation. No matter how small it is, you've called some here to be called to be super believers. Thank you for the power you give us. Though undeserving, and yet you pour it on us. You fill us, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.